and on the line now I have Councillor Janice Boylan. Good morning, Janice. Good morning, Janice.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me?
Sir, I can hear you now. Yeah, there's somebody at the phone switched off here. We're going to talk about this massive issues with overcrowding and people needing and adaptations done to their homes because of disabilities. Mm-hmm. But there's a lack of funding. And I see you submitted a parliamentary question asking the minister to increase the funding. Tell us what's happening there. That sounds quite serious.
Okay, so at the moment we all know there's nobody that doesn't that we're in the midst of the worst housing and homeless crisis that this country has ever seen, and because government after government have failed to do massive builds like they used to do in the 50s and the 60s across Cabra, Ballyferma, right across the city. They, the Dublin City Council went in, built homes and stuff like that, and obviously the money was provided for that. And that was a time even when we didn't have much money, but we were still able to build homes for people. And because there hasn't been any significant move to look at those building models again, we have a housing list, where it is over 20,000 people are waiting to be housed by Dublin City Council. And we also have a list where people are on a list waiting to get an extension because of severe overcrowding. And we also have a list where people are waiting to get adaptations because of disabilities and things where they would need, like wheelchair access, they would need the bathroom brought downstairs, a bedroom brought downstairs and stuff like that. So I'm calling on the minister to provide more funding so that we can look at providing more people then with the means to apply for the grant to get the extensions done. And what that will do then is that it would slightly make the list a little bit lesser. People who are in overcrowded accommodation, if they got the funding to build extension, they might then, you know, decide to come off of the housing list altogether because they would deem to be housed. They would have an extension at the back of their mum's house or their, you know, at the side of the house and stuff like that. So they would have somewhere to live. And then obviously the adaptations for the people who have the disabilities as well. Now, where we are at the moment is, during the last 4 years, in the last year, 2018, there's been four extensions provided by DCC to tenants. Now, it's not clear what types of an extension, whether it was an extension because of overcrowding or it was an extension because of an adaptation. But there was four of them provided. Now, in 2017, the funding that was allocated for this type of work was 1.6 million. Albeit it did get put up to 2 million in 2018. But with the 2 million, we literally were only able to provide for four extensions out of that. So we need a significant increase in that budget. It needs to be significantly increased. And where I am at the moment is, as you said at the start of the programme, I have sent a parliamentary question into Owen Murphy via the office in Owen O'Brien's office in the Dáil, asking him to come back and relook at giving more funding out of the capital budget, this capital spend, for this type of a request for extensions and adaptations for people with disabilities.
Okay, now there's a couple of things there you mentioned. You said 2 million was spent on four extensions. Is that correct?
That's the budget. There was a budget there of 2 million for 2018, and when I made the request to Dublin City Council for the information, they came back and told me that four extensions were provided in 2018 out of that 2 million. Now, whether the 2 million is completely spent, whether there's more money there to do more extensions, I do not know. I've asked for further questions. That's why I've put in the parliamentary question as well.
Yeah, well, hopefully now there was funding given to something else, because it'd be an awful thing to think that four extensions cost, what, 500,000 each?
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that was the amount. But what happens sometimes with most of the budgets in DCC, what we do is we spend the money and then we draw the money down from government. So say, for example, government gave an allocation of 2 million in 2018. If we haven't spent that allocation of 2 million and we've only spent enough for 4 extensions, then that's all we can draw down for the 2018 year. So if we're getting the money, we need to be doing the extensions, and we need to be getting more money, because it doesn't seem to be stretching. I mean, it was 1.6 million in 2017, and as far as I know, there was a number of extensions done, but the information coming back is not matching. It's not taking any numbers off the list. You're not seeing, you know, 10 or 20 homes getting extension. It's in the lowest numbers possible. So we need to really look into it, and this is why I've decided to do what I've done.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned overcrowding as well. Now, when you say overcrowding, are these big families, or are these, as you mentioned, young couples wanting to move, can't get houses, sort of moving in with their parents and living in their parents' house? Or is it both?
It's both. So say, for example, now I would know people who are living in a three-bedroom property, and it is, it's like three families. So you've got the mammy, who is the mother of two siblings, two daughters,
yeah,
and they have children. So you've got like the mother who has a young child herself, you've got the daughter who has a child herself, you've got another daughter who has a child and is expecting a baby soon as well. So you've got them all living in a three-bedroom house. So in reality, you've got three families living in under the one roof, even though they're all from the one family. You've got grandkids, and you've got a mammy and two siblings sharing one little box room. You've got, you know, it's really, and then there you're all using the one bathroom and the one shower unit as well and stuff like that. So you've got people like that, but then equally you have people who go out into the private market. You know, they're not earning enough to afford a mortgage. They're on the housing list. Rents are mental. So the best thing for them to do while they're saving to try to get a deposit for a mortgage and stuff like that, if they possibly can get an affordable one, they go back and they live with mom and dad. And again, it's not just mom and dad and one partner, yeah, and their partner. It's more than likely some children are involved. There's other brothers and sisters who still live in the house as well. So they're the levels of overcrowding and the types of overcrowding situations that I'm dealing with and I've seen, and as has all other councillors.
So you're talking there in that situation, three generations living in a three-bedroom house. And isn't there also a sort of a catch-22 situation there as well, Janice, that if you're living in your parents' house, you go way down the housing list?
No, that's not the way it is anymore.
Your
position on the list is determined by the length of time on the list. So
okay,
it makes no difference to the amount of overcrowding. You don't get priority anymore. When we had the point system in, you get 15 extra points for overcrowding. So that would bring you up the list a good chunk. The list is different now. For the last 4 years, it's been changed, and it literally goes off the length of time that you're on the list. So if I'm living with my mum and dad and I'm on the list 10 years, I'm on the list 10 years, and my position on the list will be reflective of those 10 years.
Yeah, that's good. That's it. You say that changed in the past 4 years.
It has. Since I was elected, it's been like that, yeah.
Well, that's something anyway. That's a move in the right direction.
Now, it is.
You also mentioned the DCC, all county councils, used to build houses. Now, I've been saying for years in different interviews that DCC seem to be moving away from building houses. They don't seem to want to be involved in building houses anymore. Do you find that, Janice?
For me, it's not that they don't want to be involved in building houses anymore. For me, it is a case of every single time that we come up with a solution or a suggestion that would give us more public housing, more affordable type housing where we'd have a mixed income site. It's always a case that we have to include a private developer because the funding model isn't there. For example, I'll just give you in the last couple of years that I've been dealing with, I'm sure you've heard about this, the land initiative deal. Yep. Initially, when that was put on the table, that was put on by DCC to try and build on land banks that we had within the city, Oscar Traynor Road, O'Devney Gardens, and St. Michael's Estate. Michael's Estate. And what happened was the manager came back and was trying to, you know, put this proposal to us at the Housing SPC and other groups at the full chamber as well. And what we decided was there's no way we were going to settle with just 10%, which is the Part 5 agreement. That's agreed by the government. They only give, you only get 5% of a private development site. So initially what the government was proposing was that those three sites would be 95% private and 5% we'd get for social housing. We said absolutely no way. 10%, yeah. Sorry, so 90% private and 10% social housing. We absolutely said no way that that wasn't the case that we were going to be accepting. And we pushed and pushed and pushed until we finally came up with the best option that we possibly could, which was 20% social public houses and 20% affordable with 50% private. Now, that's not the best model that's there. We should be building public and affordable homes on DCC land, without a doubt. That's the model we should be doing. But our hands were tied a bit, and we literally had to make a decision about building nothing or building something. So we chose that we would go with that model, which is the land initiative model. And then when we changed ministers, St. Michael's Estate hadn't been on the agenda, really. It was just Oscar Traynor and O'Devney. And when Michael's Estate went on, there was a different minister there, and there was a different negotiation made with that minister, and he agreed to a 50-50 model up there, where it was 50% social and 50% affordable, which is a good model, and I hope it goes ahead, and I hope everything goes right. But it's not DCC not wanting to build, yet they, you know, people will make the argument that they're not building and they're not going out onto their lands and stuff to build. But the cost of building has risen significantly as well, and that adds to the cost for DCC. So if we're not getting adequate funding from the Fine Gael government, we can't just go out and build our own lands. We have to come up with deals that suit everybody who's in government at the moment. And unfortunately, that leaves us then where we're left with initiatives like the 50% private, the 20% public, and the 20% affordable. It's better than nothing. That's what I'll say from the get-go, and the community stood over that. We did lots of consultation with the community. They were happy enough with that. In fairness, they didn't want to see, on O'Devney in particular, they didn't want to see a 100% public housing model there again. They wanted it to be a mixed income site where they would be living next door to people who own their homes, to people who wanted to rent it out, and people who are obviously DCC tenants. And that was the best deal that we could get for that. So again, it's not that they don't want to build. It's a case of sometimes their hands are tied, that the funding option, the funding isn't there, the amount that's needed to just go out and say, okay, we've a chunk of land there, let's put this money into it and build this many units.
Yeah, you mentioned the Oscar Traynor Road site there. I've been doing interviews about that site now for 5 years, and nothing has happened.
It's really, really slow. The red tape around procurement and stuff like that, and the tendering process and everything else, it's really, really tedious. I remember when I got elected in 2014 that this came on the agenda. Now, luckily enough, O'Devney has moved forward. We have started building the first units up there, but Oscar Traynor Road hasn't moved. And I know the frustrations amongst the locals. I know the frustrations amongst the local councillors who are elected there. My colleagues, Councillor Larry O'Toole and Edel Moran, as well as Denise Mitchell, the TD out there as well, very, very frustrated with the amount of time it's taken. I mean, Micheál McDonagh as well in the chamber there 2 weeks ago only asked for an update in relation to what the slowness of it was. And it's all to do with not, you know, finishing one site and then sending another one out for tender. And it's just literally red tape after red tape. It really is. It's ridiculous. And just give you an example of that, Dominic Street was given the go-ahead. We had a sod torn in the fence 2 years ago where the Fine Gael ministers came out and they dug a bit of gravel and they threw it up for the photo opportunity and stuff like that. That still hasn't started. What happened was inflation happened and then it went up by 10%. The funding that was allocated, obviously they needed an extra 10 million. That went down to the department last year for the clearance for that, and it's literally only after getting the go-ahead there last week because the manager wrote out to us. So it's just, it's a constant battle, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it's just ridiculous. It's tedious, it's not fair, and we need something to change there, where we're not having a 5-year consultation programme before we even get a shovel on site.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know councillors like yourself, Janice, who are very, very frustrated with this whole delay. And imagine what the people who are waiting for houses feel like, seeing this.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. This is the ones that we are obviously fighting for day in, day out. These are the people that are literally waiting on these homes to be built so that they can have the opportunity to move in and start a life and have a forever home. And the absolute, you know, it's just in your face, blatant delays all the time. And every single time we try to raise it about procurement, about the tendering process being so long, we're told that's the way it is. It's legislation. It's only supposed to be a 5 part process. Sometimes it can take up to 21 steps to get from design phase to shovel ready. And that's just too long, because these people are in need, and they've never been more in need than they have in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's madness now. Just one more thing, Janice. You mentioned the cost of building. I don't know whether you heard of O'Coolan Housing.
I'm going to a conference now this week. It's on tomorrow in Woodkey. I'm going to that tomorrow.
They actually got land at a reasonable price from the county council, and were able to produce affordable houses. I think it's 200,000 for a 3-bedroom house, and apparently they're gorgeous. So it can be done.
Of course it can be. I went out and visited the site. I seen the homes. They're beautiful homes. 3-bedroom actually was 186. That's the quote that they gave. So it was under 200,000. It can be done. It absolutely can be done. And if we the thing about I raised O'Coolan for the O'Devney site. Because of the O'Devney site, we're in the middle of the city centre, and it's a 10-acre site, but it's the density. We haven't got the space to build, say, 600 houses. We have to mix houses with duplexes and apartments because of the density. Because we have to, you know, we have to build more homes all at a time. Whereas out in Ballymun and out in Cherry Orchards and stuff, there's loads and loads of land. There's loads of land available there where O'Coolan could benefit, but unfortunately they couldn't do it on the O'Devney site because of the density. They can only build homes. They can't actually build the apartments. It's just houses that they can build for that price, because apparently building an apartment is much more expensive because you've got the lift shafts and stuff like that. It brings the price up, the building price up significantly.
Okay, Janice, listen, unfortunately the clock is beating us. We could probably go on talking about this for hours. It's a terrible situation people are in, and it can be solved if people listen. Now, you submitted a parliamentary question and you're waiting for the minister's response.
Yes.
So
yes.
Hopefully you'll get a positive response.
I hope so too. I really do, because it's not going to solve the housing crisis, John. It definitely won't. But what it'll do is it'll alleviate some of the people waiting on the list and in really bad situations, like extreme overcrowded. People will say things just before you go, like, "Oh yeah, sure." My dad, for instance, came from Greek Street Flat, St. Mickens, and they were in a 2-bedroom with 15 brothers and sisters. And Asher, didn't people cope back then and all? That wasn't a living. That wasn't living then, and we don't want to go back to that. That's bringing us right back to the days of the tenements, and there's no way I'll stand over that as a politician. There's not a chance. So they need to get their finger out. They need to look at things where the procurement process isn't as long as it can be, and we need to definitely 100% start building, first and foremost, on our council-owned land, with models such as 50 public and 50 affordable. That's what we need to be doing.
Right, Janice, listen, thank you very much for taking the call.
Yeah, very good.
And listen, maybe when you do get a response from the minister, we'll talk again and see what's happening.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Be brilliant. Yeah, no problem. I'll let you know. Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Janice Boylan, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye now. Bye.
Yes, that was Councillor Janice Boylan there.